interrupt your program to bring you this important podcast. How to 911.
Can you put me out of service on a podcast, please?
So, welcome back, guys, to How to 911. I'm Sammy.
I'm Erica.
And today we're talking to a guest of ours that we work with. It is not a police officer. This is our first, like, kind of out of the officer, but still within. It's, like, a little confusing. But I will let him talk for himself.
I am Robert Ward. I'm a community service officer here at the Loveland Police Department. So I'm not quite a police officer, but I'm not quite nothing. So.
Yeah, not quite nothing.
Not quite nothing.
But has that officer at the end, so you have some kind of authority.
It does. There's an O in my abbreviation, so I'm pretty special.
Pretty special. Who are you? Tell us about you, Robert.
Well, like I said, I'm Robert Ward. I've worked here at the police department for 6 years. I'm working on my 7th, I believe. Actually, today's my 6th anniversary. Hey, go me!
Oh my gosh,
is it really?
Can you guys clap, please?
Yes. Oh my god, that's really bad for recording.
Oh, is it? Sorry.
It's just gonna I'm so sorry for those who are listening and they're like, oh, my ears.
You can blame me. I'm a community service officer. So I've been here about 6 years exactly, and so my original role was in the records department, where we handled the police records and the digital evidence from cases and intersection cameras and pictures and all that kind of stuff. Then about a year ago, I became a community service officer, decided to come out on the streets to help the citizens a little bit more, and be more interactive with them. So,
why?
You know, it's a hard thing. I wasn't burnt out in records. I love it. I love the people in there. I just needed a new challenge, and I like pushing myself probably a little bit further than I should. And so this seemed good for me. It was a little bit outside of my comfort zone. And so we did it.
You sure did.
That is correct.
What brings you to the Loveland Police Department?
So I actually had applied here when I was living in Texas years ago. Didn't get the job, but was moving here anyway. And then 6 months later or so, the sergeant of personnel called and was like, City Council opened up a new spot in records. Do you still want it? So I said yes. I used to be a dispatcher out in Oregon, so I have a little bit of a police background. My grandfather was a sheriff, so it's in the blood as well. And then all my college courses were criminal justice related, so it's just always been a passion of mine for justice and helping people.
For justice.
Justice.
Just like Batman.
Pretty much. I'm pretty much Batman in a minivan.
Yes.
So Batman in a minivan. That is Batman. Our new podcast.
Yes. I need a light with the Batman logo on it. I should put that on my spotlight.
Yes. Oh, yes, definitely.
But I'm so sorry.
No,
but
no,
why
no, totally.
Here?
So my wife and I decided to move closer to her sister, and they live in Wyoming. Unfortunately, I'd been through Wyoming, so I knew that I was not ever going to live there.
Good choice.
Thank you. Yeah. And so we settled on Northern Colorado, just kind of on a whim. I do have a little bit of family here. My grandmother is here, and then an aunt and uncle. So, we weren't completely strangers to the area, and we just up and moved, and this was the place that had a job open. So that's where I was. That's where I ended up.
I love it. So, I am curious a little bit more about how you said you were a dispatcher in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
What have you done total? Tell me about your job experience. This is a real interview.
Let me get my resume out.
We're actually interviewing you to be a dispatcher.
Yeah.
Oh, not this again. Former dispatch supervisor Carmen Bloom, shout out, used to try and get me up here all the time and it didn't work. So you guys just settle your tea kettle because I'm CSO and I love it. No, so I was a dispatcher in Oregon, and then I got into desk jobs. Office jobs, I should say, in medical insurance, and then moved all around. So I've kind of done a little bit of everything. I've done dispatch, the stuff that I've done here at this police department. I've worked at Disney World, and then I've done courier stuff. Like, I've just been a little bit of everything, learning all about life.
This has nothing to do with the podcast.
I have a feeling it's a Disney question.
Everybody needs to know, what did you do at Disney?
Most people would believe that I was a character. I was not. I actually failed somehow, which I do have a funny story about that. However, I just worked in a quick service food and beverage restaurant, so where people just walk up and order and get their food and go. But it's a fun system there. They teach you every role inside of a restaurant. And so then you just bounce around throughout the day, so it always keeps it fresh. So.
Oh, that's cool. So you're not, like, serving all day long.
Correct, yeah. Ugh. For, like, an hour, you'll serve, and then somebody who goes to break gets a little ticket that says, Sammy is on topping bar, relieve her, and send her to break. And then you would go to break, blah, 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 and I would go to the topping bar.
So. I actually like that, because, like, other, like, I always thought it'd be so boring to work at a restaurant, because you're literally doing the same thing for 8 hours, so it's not, I think it's a good idea for them to, like, keep you guys rotating so that you're not, like, getting burnt out easily.
Yeah.
Even though I'm sure there's still, like, burnout when it comes to the job, but.
Yeah, I mean, there's burnout in any job.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, but yeah, it was a great system. I really liked it because it kept me on my toes. So
you were like, in Florida?
In Florida, yeah.
Oh, Orlando. My God, why would you ever leave?
I don't know. There's bigger things to do.
I guess.
Loveland Police Department was calling my name back then. I just didn't hear it.
So you've told us a little bit about records.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go in depth with that a little bit more and tell us other things that records handles or anything else?
Sure. So records department handles a lot of the police reports that come through. And there's different rules, of course. If it's a felony filing, which there's felonies involved, it's got to be done within a certain time frame. And then they have what's called red stars, which is kind of high priority stuff like DUIs and things like that. And then even down to like your cold thefts or car break-ins or whatever. Records was also in charge of, like I said earlier, the intersection cameras. Which we have throughout the city. And so if there's an accident or something that happens at that, we can pull it up. If there's a kidnapping, we can kind of trace the car's route through town. So that was kind of my biggest enjoyment, was doing that part of the job. I really enjoyed the digital media side of it. So when we got body cameras with the new leadership, with Chief Tyser, I joined in on that group. And it was just really fulfilling because I loved that aspect of it so much.
Cool. And then tell us a little bit about what it means to be a CSO, because you're our first one on.
Oh, what an honor. And I really mean that. I don't say that in jest. I really am honored to be here. Thank you, ladies, for having me. So a CSO, a community service officer, I like to say does all the stuff that cops don't need to be wasting their time on. So we can handle motor vehicle accidents, parking tickets, municipal violations, just different things like that that, you know, cops can be worried about more important things. Our biggest thing is transports. Since we don't have a jail here in the Loveland Police Department or in Loveland at all, we have to take our folks to the Larimer County Jail up in Fort Collins. And so instead of tying up an officer on that, the CSOs, community service officers, will do that and take those. So that's our big, big thing.
So you said motor vehicle accidents.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit more? Because I know it might be, I don't know, just talk about it. And we'll see if you answer what I want the public to know.
Oh, easy. Well, let me tell the public that people get in car crashes every day. And we respond, if it's an injury accident, the officers will take the lead just because of the injury itself. Now, if it's a non-injury accident, a CSO can just go by themselves and handle it, especially since it's usually just an insurance situation. And all it involves is just making sure that nobody's injured, getting the license plates to make sure the plates aren't stolen or the car's not stolen, and then having the people put in, getting their insurance and phone number, or just their information. And then we just, like I said, exchange their information cards, give them a case number so that they can get the report or their insurance company can get the report.
Gotcha. So is that something that, how should I word? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
No, because you left it to him to...
I know, that's true.
Yeah, you gave me an open-ended question, so
true.
I wasn't sure what you want the public to know about traffic accidents. They're dangerous.
They are dangerous.
Painful.
What makes it where an officer will go versus a CSO or other way around?
The biggest component is that injury component. If
yeah.
There's an injury or an unknown injury, a cop will usually go, an officer. For CSOs, yeah, it's usually just something generic or easy, a fender bender, somebody bumped a pole, whatever. When it snows, we have a lot of sliding off the road crashes, so nobody's injured. They just need either a tow truck or help getting out. I will say, and I just lost that train of thought, which was really cool, but in terms of the biggest reason why they would go is just the injury component. But CSOs will still go on those. That was my point. And we'll direct traffic a lot for those because there's a lot of more investigation that needs to be done.
Cool. Thank you. That's exactly what I was looking for. I don't want people to be like, why do I have a CSO and like six cops here?
Yes, that's
or like,
why
are there so many people at this car accident? It's like, yeah, it kind of is inconvenient because they are blocking the road and like it's taking time, but like they're doing their job and they're trying to do it the best way they can, especially like you said, if there are injuries involved,
mm-hmm.
like it's just for those who are involved, so not to create more injuries or more problems. So yeah, just to give them a better understanding of why like multiple people might be there, and maybe depending on where it is, there might be multiple agencies involved. It just is all circumstantial. So
yes, we definitely work well with other agencies. We have really good relationships between fire and the county and Fort Collins. Like everybody works together real well in this area, which is something I actually cherish about this police department.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
So what else do you do here at the Loveland Police Department?
I have my fingers, my grubby little fingers, in a couple of different things. I work with the Special Olympics team. I do peer support. I'm also a recently trained field training officer, which means when we hire people in the future, I can help train them. And then I'm also on the crisis negotiations team, which most people call hostage negotiations because that's what people envision the crisis.
That's what TV says.
That's what TV tells us, is that the only crisis in the world is hostages. So.
Yeah, apparently.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about everything you just said.
All of them.
All of them.
So, Special Olympics, I've been working with Special Olympics since I was in 7th grade, I believe.
Whoa,
setting
that's
up,
impressive.
Yeah, setting up like track meets and stuff for them. And so I've been donating a lot of time and effort to them for years because I just think it's such an important cause. These guys get to play and have fun and just enjoy life with no restrictions. I mean, we just love them so much. And Loveland has a really good relationship with the Special Olympics in Colorado. And so we always are looking for opportunities to raise money and do stuff, whether it's No Shave November, bowling events, Tip-A-Cops. We do the Polar Plunge later this month. So come on out to Windsor Lake on March 27th. Don't come out to Windsor Lake because we can't promote that.
It's just, this episode will be out after March 27th. So
it might be worth it like for next
year. Yeah, so next year.
Hope you guys had a great time at the Polar Plunge on March 27th. And yeah, so we just do a bunch of different events like that just to raise money for those guys and give them equipment or, you know, fees that they have to pay to play sports. So.
Cool.
So,
yeah.
So then,
next.
What was next?
Peer
support was next. So peer support, we believe in peer support here at the Loveland Police Department. We have an entire team dedicated to it. We answer to a clinician, a psychologist, Dr. Teresa Richards. And so we answer under her. We have a whole group of us because mental health oftentimes is swept under the rug, I think. And especially in a profession like this where we see things, hear things, and experience different things that most of the world doesn't have to, I think it's even more important for us to be able to talk to somebody. And, you know, there's a stigma of talking to a psychologist. So with peer support, people can talk to their peers, obviously, and still get the help and treatment that they might need. Or sometimes they just need somebody to talk to. So we use that as a tool around here, and I think it's very, very successful.
How many people are on the team? Do you know?
Roughly 12 to 15. I have to count, but without getting the sheet out and counting off the top of my head and wasting your time, I'll say 12 to 15.
Okay.
Plus the psychologist, Dr. T. So.
Gotcha. And I know, does that include, because I know the police department has their own peer support team, and then I think LFRA has theirs for Thompson Valley. Do they do it for Thompson Valley too?
I think Thompson Valley would have their own something.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know, I've seen the two sheets of paper that says
mm-hmm.
LFRA
mm-hmm.
and then LPD. Is that including both of those?
Yeah,
do you guys
so
work together?
We don't.
Okay.
I mean, we work together if we need to, if there was a big incident.
Right.
God okay. forbid. But Dr. T is the head psychologist over both.
Uh-huh.
Teams, and so she works with both teams directly. We don't commingle a whole lot.
So you guys are definitely more focused on the police part.
Correct.
And they're more focused on the fire part.
Correct.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I've always wondered that, and I guess I didn't remember to ask him when we were talking to Officer Casterline.
Mm.
My bad. Sorry,
okay.
Brandon.
He probably would have answered it wrong.
Oh my gosh. Those are fighting words.
Oh yeah.
I hope he's listening to this.
I hope he's listening. He should be. He loves
okay.
podcasts, so.
Yeah, he does. Anyways, what was the next one that you talked about?
The next one was right before crisis negotiation team.
Field training.
I mentioned field training officer. Yeah. So that's a brand new endeavor for me. I was just trained in January. We did a 1-week class here at the PD, and there was 7 of us in that one. And so we're pretty new on that. CSOs don't get hired as often because there are only four of us plus a corporal. And so the opportunities are probably a little bit fewer and far between, but we have some suggestions to maybe make it a little bit more lucrative for officers to train with a CSO to kind of learn some basic stuff.
Mm-hmm. So. I like that because you guys do a lot of things that they do as well. Like you said, the parking tickets, the transportation. Mm-hmm. Like if there's not a CSO available, they're also handling those calls. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be a really cool way to utilize that.
Definitely.
Yeah, and that's probably a surprise for Sergeant Pride because I haven't formally requested it yet. So surprise, that's my request.
That's my request. Well, you have our stamp of approval,
yeah.
So just tell him that
our
when
support.
It happens. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, everything runs through dispatch, so he's
yeah.
going to appreciate that.
100%.
Cool. Yep.
Obviously. And then lastly,
crisis negotiations. Like I said, everybody calls it hostage negotiations because, honestly, like you said, that's what TV tells us it
yeah.
is. But we can do crisis negotiations for anything. Barricaded subjects that don't want to come out. You know, people in mental health crisis, just a lot of different crises in general.
Yeah.
So that's why it's kind of an all-enveloping crisis negotiations team. So
what's training look like?
Mm-hmm.
What is it? I mean, I don't want you to, like, pretend like you need to talk us down, but, like, what are some tactics that you would utilize?
Yeah, not a problem. So we train once a month with our whole team.
Sorry, I was like, that's a lot, but then I remembered that we do trainings all the time here, so never
yeah,
mind.
There's a lot of trainings here. So once a month we get together, and we get out all of our equipment, and that involves throw phones and computers and a whole setup that is, this room wouldn't even be big enough. I mean, it's incredible how much stuff it is. And I'm relatively new to that team as well. I've been on that probably 4 or 5 months now. But I'm just impressed by that team because they have it squared away. And we have our own truck that was recently donated to us that we can get in a pinch and take it out to a scene. So say there's a barricaded subject or something along those lines. We can load the stuff up in the truck, drive it over, be setting it up on the way there. By the time we get there, we're ready to roll. And so the training is, we do a lot of scenarios. I just did my first scenario the last couple trainings. First one didn't go well at all. And Sergeant Pride was my person in crisis. And I'm pretty sure he just enjoyed it a little bit more because it was me. But the second one went really well, which was really encouraging for me as a new guy on the team. So we do, yeah, a lot of scenarios. We work directly with the Rocky Mountain Hostage Negotiations crew. And I think they're based out of, I don't know, I won't say that. I'm pretty sure it's Utah or Wyoming, but I can't remember. So more than likely, it's probably here in Colorado. But it's a whole regional group, so we're kind of under their umbrella, and we follow a lot of their teachings and stuff, and they put on clinics and trainings and different things for us throughout the year that we can jump in on.
Gotcha. Do you find it difficult to run practice scenarios with, like, peers? Do you think that maybe somebody would make it a little bit more difficult than, say, I mean, how do I put this better?
No, I actually get what you're saying.
Okay.
Yes, I think when you're talking about peer wanting to make you more uncomfortable, they'll
yeah.
do kind of some weirder things or different things. But in the grand scheme of things, that's probably more helpful just because you don't know where the conversation is going to go with somebody that's really in crisis.
Yeah.
I think for me, so that, like I explained earlier, the first one that I did was 2 months ago. And that was my first one, and I was a train wreck because I didn't know really what to say. I didn't know how to handle it, and it was Sergeant Pride.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was that comfort level with me that I knew him, so I knew that this wasn't a real situation.
Mm-hmm.
Last month, we hired actors to come in,
ooh.
Some crisis actors who do this for a lot of organizations. So they did it, and it was much better because I don't know them. If that makes sense, kind of what
yeah.
you're getting at. Like, I don't know them. I don't have that comfort level, so I felt more locked in. And I think it was a combination of that and not wanting to screw it up like I did the first one. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool. Are there certain, like, ways that you're trying to point the conversation? Because like most people, have heard phone calls of, like, people trying to talk people out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard, like, legit phone calls, so it's, like, actual detectives or whoever it is that's doing it trying to coax people out, and I'm, like, thinking, like, ooh, why would you say that? Like, that's, that does not sound good. Like, there's a lot of repetitiveness. Is that, like, am I even allowed to ask this?
Yeah, I think
are
it's
you
allowed?
You can ask it. Are you allowed to share it?
You
yeah.
can ask it about what you want. No, I think that's a valid question, actually. And to touch on the repeating of things. That's more just to get through their psyche when they're in crisis. Because, let's be honest, and then you guys experience this, they don't often hear it the first time or the second time. So you kind of just stay at an even level and just repeat until it registers. So that's why you'll hear that a lot. I can't speak of other agencies in which you've heard, so I don't know what their line of questioning is. We definitely have a training that we go to through the FBI that is geared towards kind of tactics and strategy. So.
Okay, cool. Thank you for that.
Yeah, not a problem.
What do you like about your job?
I love my job. I love everything about my job.
Okay. You have to be a little bit more specific.
I will be more specific. I love being a CSO. Was that? No. You know, I love giving back. I love giving back to people. I'm a compassionate individual. I enjoy taking people to jail. It's really a chance to connect with people and kind of help them out. And because even in small situations like that, they're in some sort of crisis. And they're having probably the worst day of their life. And so, you know, I'm fond of making people happy and smile and laugh. So I try and do that, try and make it a little bit easier for them in that process. So I love that. I love just the freedom of this job where I can kind of run at my own pace, do what I need to do to meet my goals that I set for myself. So, yeah, it's just a great job.
You don't have to be running to calls for service like officers.
No, they wish they could be a CSO, I bet. No, yeah, I don't. We do get calls for service, but they are not nearly as frequent as an officer would, and definitely not as emergent as an officer would. So ours are barking dogs and people parked backwards in the street. They're not, you know, people harassing other people or shooting people. So, I'm very blessed in that aspect because for the most part, I don't feel like I'm ever in danger a whole lot because my officers protect me, but also because the line of work that I'm in is just not so much combative as theirs.
Gotcha. What do you dislike the most about your job?
That's a tough one. Like I said, I love everything about this job, so it's hard for me to really pinpoint anything in that aspect. Standing in the cold on an accident is never fun when it's negative 10 degrees outside, so... My wife actually bought me heated gloves for that very situation. Yeah, she's pretty choice on that. but, you know, it's just stuff like that, little inconveniences that, you know, I'm lucky to have, in it, which is a weird way to put that. But, yeah, it's just small inconveniences like that. But for the most part, I just love this job.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm actually really interested about what your opinion about these next two questions are. Because you have previous experience as a dispatcher. So what, if for our specific agency, just us, you know, all of the people you work with every day, what do we do well as dispatch?
I feel like you guys are just really great at being there for us. For me as a CSO, I don't utilize dispatch as much as like an officer would, just because for me, a lot of my stuff I can do silent dispatch, which means I can enter it in the computer on my own. I can run plates on there. I can run people, like, if I need to do that stuff, so I don't have to bother you. But I really appreciate your guys' patience with us, because I know we're not always easy. And so that's probably my favorite thing, is that you guys are super patient, especially when we're having rough times out there.
Yeah. So the next one, which everybody dreads, and I can see on your face that you're dreading it, what can we improve on?
I think you guys need to be more patient with us. No, I'm kidding.
After you just said we do a good job of being patient.
Yes. I have made it no secret that I love our dispatch center and our people in dispatch, so this question is probably more difficult for me than most. And also, again, because I don't utilize you guys as much, so I don't have a whole lot of critiquing of you guys. Besides letting me up here during this COVID era, obviously you guys are super important, so I can't come up here.
Big bummer.
It's a big bummer because I love you guys that much. For me, that's a tough question in terms of what you guys can do better. I would love to have enough people to have data on 3 all the time on our TAC channel 3. Okay. I would love that.
Good answer.
Thank you. Well, it just has so happened yesterday I was in here during the day, which I'm a night shift guy, so rarely am I in here during the day, and I kept trying to get information on 3, and yeah, finally they were just like, hey bud, we're not on 3 yet. So
you're like, what?
Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, that's a new thing, because at night we usually have it while I'm on shift, we have 3. So, yeah, that would be my biggest thing for me. And I know it's such a weird and small thing, but for me, yeah.
I mean, no, I totally, like, I get it. Like, at my last agency, we always had the data channel and the main PD channel open, mm-hmm. no matter what. So it was weird for me to come here where we close that down and have it just on one, because mm-hmm. it's like, it's one of those things where it's not. It would be nice to have that extra air if something mm-hmm. does happen, because
mm-hmm. right.
you never know when something's going to happen, and if someone's trying to clear somebody and an officer's in a situation, it's just, I don't like it. So yeah, if Ben's listening, I'm just kidding. If anybody that is important that can change that rule for us, or get better staffing, which I think that's just our hiring process.
Well, I think that's law enforcement in general in these
yeah.
tough times,
yeah.
just with everything going on. I don't think hiring is on the up and up like it usually is.
True.
So
I think it's also just hard to keep people on this job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, along with everything else, like officers and everything, it's just kind of hard to keep people, and those who do stay, like, mean the world to us, because they're, like Erica, like, so knowledgeable, like, just the perfect partners and, like, stuff like that, always reliable, so.
It's true.
We really need those tenured people, but it's hard to keep them. It's mm-hmm. just a hard job.
Well, I will say this about our dispatch center. Obviously, we have extremely high expectations of our dispatchers, and the fact that we don't just let people in
mm-hmm.
when they're struggling, like, we work with them and work with them as much as we can, but we have such a high expectation that it's a testament to the dispatchers who are here already and the ones in the future that are going to make it through, that we're getting the best of the best. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's a testament to you guys and our training program, because it's not easy. It's not an easy program to pass through. So.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
totally. So I think that about rounds it up. Is there anything else that you want to talk about that you just in general want the public to know more about what you do or about Loveland?
There's not a whole lot. You'll see community service officers. We're usually in minivans putting around, and you can tell because it says community service officer in big letters. Our biggest thing is that, you know, we're here for the community. We are here to assist the citizens of Loveland, get them through anything that they need or whatever they need in the quickest and most efficient time possible. And so our goal, obviously, number one, is always be safe. So if you see us doing something that looks weird, there's probably a reason behind it that has to do with safety. So.
Mm. Cool.
Good.
Well, thanks, Robert. I'm
yeah.
so glad that we finally got to meet and talk to you.
Yes.
I feel like we've been planning this for like 6 months
mm-hmm.
and then like finally scheduled something and then, you know, our jobs get in the way.
And then the city went crazy. Yeah.
yeah.
I know. I really appreciate you guys having me on. It's been a pleasure. It's been a lot of fun. Hopefully I can come back someday and update you once I know what I'm doing. I really appreciate it. It's been a good time.
Thank
you.
Well, you guys can email any questions that you might have for CSO Ward, or we just call him Robert. It's weird to call you your
yeah.
official title.
I mean, the O is officer. Don't forget that.
Okay.
We covered that
already. Hey, someone's getting full of himself.
Oh,
man. But if you have any questions for Robert or Erica or I, you can email us those questions at howto911@cityofloveland.org. And then we also have our Instagram at howto911. I think it's podcast. I don't remember anymore, but we're the only ones. And then you can find us on Facebook at Loveland Emergency Communications Center. Is there anything else that we have? Oh, YouTube. You can find us on YouTube, but this is just going to be an audio, though, because I'm going into work and it's late at night. Sorry.
I like to think it's because I'm ugly, but that's fine.
No, you are in uniform and all prim and proper.
I am. I look good.
And then that's it.
Yeah.
So, until next time, know where you are, know your phone number, and tell us exactly what happened.